Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. It's 2023. Leon Keys in here. First show of the new year. Happy New Year. Hope everybody had a good holiday season. What up, Keys, man? How was your holidays, bro?
What's up, man? Happy New Year, everybody. 2023. Let's get it. My New Year was great. How was yours?
Oh, man, I had a good time, man. I went over to Hawaii to visit my son for Christmas, man. It was a good time. You know, it was good seeing him. Last Christmas he was gone, you know, because he stayed snow in Hawaii. So it was good to see my son, man, and go over there to the beautiful island, man. And, you know, I'm back, man. It's time to get it.
Hell yeah, man. I'm glad to hear that. You know, family time over Christmas. You know, I got to see some family over Christmas, and it's always good, man. It's good that that time of the year brings everybody back together, no matter where you're at. So I'm glad you all did that. That's what's up.
Yeah, man. So let's jump into it, man. We got to talk about the hottest news on the press right now concerning the UFC, man. It starts with the talk with Dana White, man. TMZ released a video. Dana White and his wife get into a little altercation. She smacked him, and then he smacked her back. Both of them came out. Well, his wife came out and said they both had been heavily drinking. One thing led to the next. You know, they talked it out. They reconciled. They said it's no big deal. But at the same time, is whenever you see a man hitting a woman, you know, it is a big deal. So when you first saw the video, man, what did you think, man? You think, what did you think? What was your thoughts?
I mean, my first thing was like, damn, man, it might be over for Dana White, man. He might be canceled now. That was my first thought. I was like, they're going to get him out of there. But, that was my initial thought. But, my thought was I don't have – I wonder what happened before. You know, that was probably my next thought. It was like, I wonder what happened before that led to that. That was thought one and thought two. What about you?
When I saw it, man, first of all, I kind of looked at, you know, where they was at, the atmosphere they was in. It was like a party atmosphere. You know, everybody was having a good time. And then, you know, I could see that he was trying to calm her down. And then she wasn't having it. And then she smacked him. And then I think it was just a reaction. And he smacked her back. It didn't look like he hit her hard. But and nowadays, when it comes to that, it don't matter. You know, we do live in this cancer society nowadays. I didn't really think no would come much of it because of both of their inebriated states. You know, man, it's just that when you're a public figure, you have to watch. You have to be on your guard at all times, man, because somebody always has their phone out. And stuff like this would probably, back in the day, you probably would hear about it, but you'll never see video. But nowadays, everybody got a video, man. And it's just a sad situation that, you know, that was caught on tape. It was a sad situation that, you know, what happened between them, you know, transpired in the public eye. What I'm about to say, I probably might take some heat for this, but women, sometimes you have to keep your hands to yourself. I understand that most men are taught not to hit women, but some men are taught that if you get hit, to protect yourself and hit somebody back. I know me personally, it takes a lot to make me mad. So I'm not one I'm a very non-confrontational type of person. But at the same time, I will defend myself. I thought what Dana did was more of a like, you smacked me, and then he just smacked her back. But it's just a sad situation, man. But, you know, they said they talked it out. They talked to their children about it. And, you know, they moved on. He apologized. And And then she came on and put a statement on also. So it's just a bad situation, man. It's a bad look. But, you know, I didn't think he would get canceled. I just thought that it would just be a bad look for him.
Yeah, so, I mean, with the way that people react nowadays, that's why I said I thought he would get canceled. And you could see, I haven't looked much more into the situation. Actually, I haven't even looked into it at all. I only watched that clip real quick, and I haven't looked more into the story of it or anything like that. But I have seen, you know, what, you know, a lot of the community's reaction is, and, you know, you see women on Twitter, you know, pretty outraged by it, and, you know, this and that. And I was actually kind of surprised by what you said. I figured I would have had your take and that you would have had the opposite of my take. But even though mine's a little bit different than yours, but it's in the same ballpark, I thought you would have disagreed with what I was going to say. But so what I was going to say was, yeah, he – that's why I said I wanted to know what happened before, because without more context on the situation, I don't like to just go ahead and judge people. You know, a couple of years ago, I probably would have been like, oh, you know what I mean? Like when the thing, you know, Mike Perry happened, I was like flipping. I'm like, oh, Mike Perry, you know, but I didn't have like the full context of the situation. And then I'm pretty sure they found out later that I don't even know if it was legit or not, but either way, like I would have been a lot more reactive, you know, I would have been a lot more impulsive on the reaction. So, now is like, you know, at this point, 26 years old, I'm like, okay, I would like to know the full context of the situation. And point two is, like, what led up to it? You know, what was she doing before, and what was going on that inspired the whole thing? But then also, two is, just because, like, if it was me in that situation, you know, I don't think she should hit him either. That's the point I'm getting to. And I really don't care if I were to catch him for that. That might be the one difference we'll have here, is that I really don't care, because I'm not about like the feminist, you know, thing where it's like, you know, men are not trash. We are, you know, all deserving of love and fair play and understanding, you know, men and women. So I don't think it should be this like, oh, well, you know, he probably did something. He did this. It's like, no, that's not the way that we're doing that. It's there was probably something that happened. Yeah, he shouldn't have, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't have touched her. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have touched her. I don't know. But then again, I don't know what had happened just before that. So without the full context, it's hard to really say, oh, how I would have reacted. But yeah, my instinct is, yeah, I'm not going to slap a woman. It's my wife, you know, not just, but I also think she shouldn't slap him either. You know, I think those two things, I think we should just both not put our hands on each other. I think that's what it should really be. It's not, you know, because for years growing up, it's always been like, you know, you never put your hands on a woman, but it's like, yeah, but why does that make it okay for a woman to put her hands on a man?
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand why that's fair. Like, you see these, you know, you see other footage, you know, of, you know, more regular people. It's not like these people that are, you know, Dana White's a big name, and you know, on planet Earth. But, you know, you see like everyday people, and you see, you know, girls are just like beating on guys. It's like, you know, you shouldn't be able to, like, just because you want to say, because the thing that ends up happening is that I think some, you know, I'm not saying all, but some women take advantage of the fact that it's, oh, well, you know, he can't hit me back. He's not supposed to hit me back. So let me just like beat on him. It's like, no, I don't think that's right either. You shouldn't be able to, just because it should be, neither one of us should be putting our hands on each other. So in that situation, the way I'm looking at it is not like, oh, I'm not pressing Dana White. Like, oh, you shouldn't have put your hands on her. I'm pressing both of them. I'm like, y'all should have not touched. You shouldn't have put your hands on each other. You know, it sounds like there's, you know, you're saying that they worked it out or whatever, and, you know, there was a lot of drinking going on and whatever. So that's their marriage, and, you know, that's their – I'm sure there's things that they worked out with that, and, you know, you said they have kids, whatever. So that's their marriage. I don't know what goes on there. You know, maybe that's happened before. I don't know. I don't know if that's a regular thing. That's another thing to question is, you know, how has that happened? Because it seems like that just kind of – you know, that was it almost seemed like maybe that was familiar to them, you know? So I don't know if that has happened before. But either way, my overall point is, I think, wow, Dana White slapped his wife. It's no, his wife slapped him. It's both. That's the way I'm looking at it. It's his wife slapped him, too. Why should she be able to slap him? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that he should have hit her back. I'm just saying I don't think she should have hit him at all. You know what I mean? It's so then the judgment lands on Dana White's reaction, which was slapping her back. You know, that's what the focus is on. I think it should be on why did she even slap him in the first place. I think neither one of them should have even touched each other. That's the way I think it should be. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Yeah. I think the thing is that what you're saying is basically if she doesn't slap him, then he never slaps her. So now I know a lot of people probably say, Lee, you've been a hypocrite right now because of your stance on Floyd Mayweather. No, I'm not. Dana White does not have a track record of being a serial domestic violence the guy. Floyd Mayweather does. So that's why I have an issue with Floyd Mayweather. And no, if Dana White had a track record of being a chronic or pathological domestic abuser, I would say the same thing about him that I would about Floyd Mayweather. But my whole thing with Floyd Mayweather is that he is a professional boxer hitting women. No, 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 no. But we're going to get off of that, and, you know, we're going to jump on to something else. I got to get my man Keys' opinion on this, because when I read this, Keys, you were the first person I thought about. Bellator recently had a co-promotion with Rising, and all Bellator fighters swept the main card. I don't care about who the fighters were, but my question is what Scott Coker said afterwards. Scott Coker had the nerve to say that if he had a co-promotion between Bellator and UFC, that Bellator would beat UFC also. Now, I know where both of us stand at on this, but when I read this, Keys, I was like, Scott Coker, man, just live in the moment. Just enjoy your night. Why are you ruining your night with this blasphemy? Keith, if the best UFC fighters fought the best Bellator fighters, do you think Bellator will win one fight?
All right. I'm going to give y'all Bellator fans the benefit of the doubt. Here we go. Right? So here's what I did. While he was saying that, I went up and I pulled up the Bellator versus Ryzen lineup so I could accurately tell y'all, okay, this guy would actually fight this guy, because I want to see the divisions. You know, I need to see – I don't know – like, I'm pretty sure – I want to know who is in it and then who would they be fighting in the UFC. Are these all their champions or are these just random fighters? So here's what I – this is what's happening here. So AJ McGee – I'm pretty sure he was fighting at lightweight, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a lightweight. But then I think I don't know what happened. I'm not really sure. He's either a featherweight or a lightweight, but I'm going to just tell you out the gate, he ain't beating no damn Volkanovski. That's a fact. So Volkanovski is rolling McGee, and he's definitely not beating Islam. Islam's rolling him too. Pitbull's not beating Volkanovski or Islam, so he's getting rolled too. Juan Archuleta, I'm trying to think of who that is. I know of him, but I'm trying to say who would he fight? You know, because I know Kyoji Horiguchi, Demetrius Johnson already dispatched him back in the day, so that we already know about that. But Kyoji Horiguchi, I think he still fights at bantamweight. I think he fights at bantamweight. I don't think he's a flyweight. I'm pretty sure he's at bantamweight. So Horiguchi would fight Aljamain Sterling or Henry Cejudo. He's getting rolled by both of those guys. Godsi Radabinov, I don't even know who that is, so I don't know. And then Juan Archuleta. Do you know what division Juan Archuleta is?
I'm trying to find what division these guys are in, because it really doesn't say, but what I'm going to do is while you are talking, I am going to pull up Bellator, their website, and then I will let you know. But
right,
it's funny it's funny that Scott Coker would say that, man. I just found that super funny.
So I did find out each division. So AJ McGee's at 155. So okay, we're putting him versus Islam. I thought this would be like a champion versus champion card, but if these are just random fighters, I don't know who y'all want them to fight, but. Let's just say McGee fights Islam or something like this. He's getting rolled by Islam. You know, Pitbull is fighting at featherweight. We already went through this. Horiguchi, I guess, is at flyweight. So you would probably put Horiguchi versus Brandon Moreno. I mean, he's losing to Brandon Moreno, so he's out of there. Juan Archuleta is fighting at 135. Okay, so I had these a little mixed up here. He's at 135. Horiguchi's at 125. So they're down 0-3 on my card right now. Juan Archuleta is fighting 135, so he could fight. Let's give Juan Archuleta Peter Yan. I like that fight. Let's do him and Peter. Yan's going to smash him to pieces. So they're down 0-4. And then now you got Gadzi Rabadanov. I have no idea who this guy is, so I really couldn't tell you. Like, I don't know a lick about this guy, so I don't know, but. He's at 155, and if you just want to go ahead and put him versus Dustin Poirier, I think that would be cool, and I think Poirier smashes him to pieces. So yeah, I think they would lose. They get swept 0-5 versus the UFC. That's off the matches I just made right there. I don't know who they'd want. They'd probably try to cherry pick it and give them, you know, try to make fights that they feel like were mismatches or something, so they could try to win. I don't think they would try to take the best guys that, you know. And these guys don't really want to challenge themselves. You guys just pop all that shit. They just want to blow smoke, you know what I mean? These guys don't really want to fight these fights, you know. It's like, you think, you know, Patricio Pitbull really wants to fight Volkanovski or Islam? It's like, come on, bro. Like, AJ McGee is going to beat these guys? Like, come on, man. They don't believe that, you know. These guys are fighting. These guys are not Bellator fighters that they're beating. Like, who are these guys? You know what I'm saying? Like, you watch these other leagues, and they just don't, like, I'm not seeing, what is the level? You know what I mean? What is the level of the competition over there? I'm trying to understand it, because these guys, you know, you see them get beat by random sometimes that come out of nowhere, you know, and then they lose the belt, and then now this guy, you know, McGee just moved up a division because he lost to Pitbull. It's like, you guys could both lose, you know, in the same, and, you know, y'all could both lose in the same night to Islam. So I'm not really sure what y'all want to do with that. I mean, you could put put all your ideas together and put them in a hat if you want. Try to game plan. Y'all could do a training camp like Anthony Smith and my boy Jamal Hill are doing right now, for the Glover fight. They're doing a training camp together right now. So AJ McGee might have to actually work together. They might have to try to join forces with Pitbull and try to figure out how to beat Islam. I think so.
The funny part is, I wouldn't even put our champions against them. I would go with the number one contender. Our number one contenders, let's say at 145. Our number one contender at 145. What's that on? That's featherweight, right?
Yeah, I had a few contenders. I put Poirier versus
I would have Max Holloway
versus somebody.
Yeah, I would have like Max Holloway. No, 140, no, lightweight. I don't probably have Charles Oliveira or Poirier. Or even Benil Dariush. And then Max Holloway at featherweight. Man, It's just levels to the, I mean, out of all these Bellator guys, the only guy that I would say will probably have a chance to be a solid fighter in the UFC is AJ McKee. He got some nice skills, you know. He ain't a one trick pony. The rest of these guys, Gazi, Patricio Pitbull, even though he's a former champion. I just don't see none of them, like, beating, who is this? Kyoji Hiraguchi, no. What's that? No, what's that? 135? And he was fighting the guy that was weighed 125. He weighed 135 and was fighting the guy that weighed 125.
He was in the UFC back in the day.
Yeah. And then Juan Archuleta at 135. It's like, man, out of these guys here, these wouldn't even be like, this wouldn't even require, like, I would take a guy in between the 6 to 10 range to fight them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, bro. I mean, enjoy your night, Scott Coker. Y'all beat Rising. I think Rising has actually been getting the best of Bellator up until this event. So, enjoy your night. You had a good night. You finally beat Rising. Although I don't think none of Rising champions was even on the card. So, come on, man. We know that Bellator, the B stands for B League. Man, y'all just wouldn't. UFC guys that get cut go to y'all. It's a reason why people get cut from the UFC. It's only because they're on a losing streak or they don't have the skills to cut it. So, man, I was just, like, laughing. I was like, man, this is funny to me. This is really, really funny. But you supposed to amp up your organization. You know, you supposed to do that. But at the same time, sometimes you got to have, just be humble. Like Keys say, sometimes you just got to be humble.
Well, the thing is this, too, is that if you look at it, when they were doing these, so when they sent one of their guys, Bellator sent one of their guys, I forget his name. It was probably like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And funny enough, that guy's not even on this card. That just goes to show you the level of the Bellator talent. But anyways, that was like 2-3 years ago, and they did – before they did a whole card, they just sent – Ryzen sent one of their guys – no, no. Bellator sent their champion. I'm pretty sure it was either – I think it was Bellator's bantamweight champion. They said whoever's their bantamweight champion, a couple of years ago, they sent them over to Ryzen to
they
go
– got beat.
And you know who we fought when he went over there?
Oh,
he fought Kyoji Horiguchi. So this is one of their own guys. So really, so what happened was they sent him over there. He lost to Horiguchi in Ryzen. So I think he fought Horiguchi for his belt, lost to Horiguchi there. And then Horiguchi came over to Bellator to then fight the same guy for that dude, like his Bellator title. And then Horiguchi beat him again and took his Bellator title. So then now it looks like Bellator signed Horiguchi to then not just for this because he was winning, obviously he's a talent, but they now, flash forward, they signed one of Bryson's guys that was beating them down a couple of years ago to put them on their Bellator versus Bryson card so they could actually win versus Bryson. Imagine that. So really, you have a Rising guy fighting other Rising guys, and he was signed to Bellator. So this was a guy that was beating your champion. He beat your champion, beat him down there, and then came over and then beat him down and took his belt here, and then now here we go. And I'm pretty sure Horiguchi went and then got knocked out by a UFC guy, Sergio Pettis, in the fourth or fifth round with an insane spinning back fist, and he sent Horiguchi to the Matrix. So that's the reason why. So that's what happened. So Horiguchi came over. He beat that other dude 2 times. Forget his name. I'll get back and find it. But he beat that dude.
Darian Caldwell.
And he was the champion.
It was Caldwell. Darian Caldwell.
Yeah, so he was the champ. He beat Caldwell twice. And then notice you don't even see Darian Caldwell on this card, but regardless. Yeah, so then Horiguchi, you know, he's doing well in Bellator. Then he fights Sergio Pettis is I think the flyweight or bantamweight champion in Bellator, and he fights Sergio Pettis, and I think they said it was either fourth or fifth round, spinning back kiss. Sergio Pettis sent him to the Matrix. So that's a UFC guy. So that just, you know, that just kind of comes back. That brings the whole thing full circle right there. I'm glad Sergio Pettis is the champion. That's, you know, good for him.
Well, actually, we can't say Sergio flamed out. Sergio left because the UFC said they were going to get rid of the flyweight division. And he just said that he wanted to release him so he would go to Bellator to fight in the flyweight division. So we can't say that they cut him, but, you know, he wanted to keep fighting at 125 because he tried to fight at 135 and he just didn't look good at 135. I think me and you even said it. We was like, oh, man, he not going to be able to hang at 135 because those guys were just that extra 10 pounds, you know, plus what is it probably about between the extra, you know, the extra 10 pounds on his body. And then when those guys hydrate back up, it's probably another 10 pounds. And I know, man, you was like, he ain't going to be able to survive at 135. So, you know, he ended up going to Bellator.
Yeah, because I remember his fight when he moved up to 135, and you could just see, I forget who it was that he fought, but you could just see the size difference, and you could tell in the power when he was throwing his punches, you could just tell the difference. When the guy was hitting him back, it was like, it was devastating, you know, like the size, because he's a flyweight, you know, he's not meant to be, like he's not meant to go up a division, he's a real flyweight, you know, like I think, What's the other guy we just watched? Kaikara France. Like, I feel like Kaikara France is a flyweight, too. Like, I think if Kaikara France were to go up to 135, like, it would look like that. You know, I think, you know, those guys would be towering him, and it would be, like, Kaikara France has a lot of power, but I don't know how much his power would translate, you know, when he's hitting those dudes up at 135. I think it would just be, because he's like Pettis. I think he's a true flyweight.
Yeah, I think only two guys at 125 probably could have success at 135, and that's Moreno and Figueroa. I think Figueroa, he's probably naturally should be a bantamweight, but, you know, he fights at 125. I think Brandon Moreno, I think with his skill set, he could compete at 135. But, hey, man, this hardly ever happens, but it's happening in 2023. There's a UFC pay-per-view card on my birthday in January. And, Keys, I'm looking at this card, and I'm really not too excited about it, man. Please tell me, Lee.
Is this the one next weekend?
No, it's the one in 2 weeks. Please say Lee.
Oh, you talk about 283?
Yeah. Tell me I'm just tripping.
Let me see it. What is it?
Tell me I'm tripping, dog.
You talk about Jamal Hill's fighting for the belt there, right? That one.
Yep, we got Glover versus Hill for the light heavyweight title. We got Figueroa Moreno, number 15, Gilbert Burns versus Neil Magny. Lauren Murphy versus Jessica Andrade. And then I don't even know why this fight even on the main card. Shogun Hua versus some guy Portieria. I would have rather Paul Craig and Johnny Walker open up the main card. So, man, just tell me I'm tripping, man. Just tell me, Lee, be open-minded. This card isn't as bad as you think it's going to be.
All right, so. What you laughing at?
Keys, you started off like, damn, I don't want to die. I don't want to lie to my brother, but let me see, can I make you do it?
I gotta try to move this around. So I'm looking at it, and I'm kind of just, it's kind of weird, because, like, there's fights, like, around this card that I'm like, why are these not, like, my boy Terrence McKinney's on the early prelims, like, why?
Exactly.
Why is Terrence McKinney on the early prelims? Like, he should probably be, man, that's, like, one of my guys right now. Like, he should probably be, Shogun Hua should probably be, like, somewhere on the, like,
opening the early prelims.
Yeah, yeah. You could probably switch those. You could probably switch their place or put, like, Shogun on, like, the first. I don't know where you want to put him at, but you move him out of the spot, and you got to get, like, Johnny Walker and Paul Craig. That's a good light heavyweight fight, man, especially with the way Johnny Walker just looked when he fought in, I think, September. Yeah, it was September. He turned into Damian Maia in there. I was like, man, I never would have thought Johnny Walker was going to come in and win by submission. Like, I could imagine what the line was. Like, can you imagine what the betting odds were for Johnny Walker to win by submission? Like, it was probably like a 25-point underdog to win by submission. Like, that was probably insane. Like, the people that bet that and then it cashed were probably freaking out because they had no idea that that would actually be real. They probably were just like, oh, let me just, like, you know, put $20 on it or whatever, and they're like, you know, it's not going to happen, but let's just do it. And then it does happen, and then they hit, and they're like, oh, shit, Johnny Walker just turned into fucking, he just channeled Charles Oliveira, man. I think he's been training out in Brazil now. Like, this dude went crazy. He just turned into the submission specialist. So, yeah, that's all
crazy. Especially with the guy he was fighting.
Yeah, especially with the guy he was fighting. I was like, damn, like, you know, he figured it out. Like, the dude, you know, Wolverine has a lot of power. You know, the Wolverine guy he was fighting, you know, he figured that situation out. He got him to the mat, and he pretty much dominated him. Like, it was literally Johnny Walker. That was the whole, like, couple minutes or whatever the fight it was. Like, he owned that fight, man. That was, like, beautiful. But, yeah, Paul Craig is big submission guy too, and he's a sleeper, man. I think I said this one of our shows recently. We were talking about the light heavyweights, and I'm pretty sure I said that Paul Craig is a sleeper at light heavyweight, man. He's a beast. Like, that guy, like,
I like Paul
people
Craig.
Don't really talk. What'd you say?
I like Paul Craig. He's a well-rounded guy.
Yeah, people sleep on him. I feel like it's everyone, like, right now, light heavyweight, like, everyone's talking about, you know, Glover Teixeira, Samurai Jack, Jerry Pahoshka. I always think of Samurai Jack when I think of him. Shout out to Samurai Jack. Used to watch that night at 7 back in, like, 03. You know Samurai Jack?
Yes, I do.
Yo, real ones are watching Samurai Jack back then, man. About, like, 03, 04. Maybe it might have been earlier. Might have been 01. I don't know. But real ones are watching that.
Man.
I think it was Monday nights at 7, or was it Monday nights at 9? It was on Monday nights, I remember. Me and my older brother used to watch it every week. Samurai Jack, that was a good-ass show. But, yeah, I don't know. I always look at Jerry, and I think of Samurai Jack, man. I just feel like that's him. So that's Samurai Jack. So everyone, light heavyweight, talks about Samurai Jack, Glover Teixeira. Who's our other boy? We used to always think he would lose, and he wins. The Polish Power. They all talk about the Polish Power. You know, all these guys. You know, Jamal Hill is someone that's still getting slept on, but he's about to fight for the title finally. So he's in there, but not really, because everyone's like, people still not really accepting him, but, you know, he might be the champ in a minute. And, yes, you got all those guys up there that are talking about those guys, and you don't really see anybody talking about Paul Craig, man. Like, I think Paul Craig, you know, he could surprise us. Paul Craig could realistically, like, my emotions aside and my favoritism aside, and, oh, yeah, light heavyweight. People talk about, what's the other guy that just fought, too? He's just fought the Polish Power. Who is that? The Dagestani guy that we watched. Ankalaev. Yeah, they're talking about Ankalaev.
Yeah, Ankalaev.
Yeah, and, Jan Blachowicz. I couldn't remember his name. I haven't had dinner yet. But, yeah, the Polish Power was fighting. You know, they're talking about those guys, but I think Paul Craig could probably beat all those guys. Like, I think, and that's emotions aside, and me not having picks, like, Paul Craig, I mean, he's already beaten Jamal Hill. We already saw that, so clearly he can beat him.
Yeah, he broke his arm.
Yeah, he broke his arm, man. And that's Jamal Hill's only loss. So, but I think, and Anthony Smith. There's another guy, too, if I talk about Anthony Smith. But overall, I think Paul Craig could probably low-key surprise and beat all those guys, man. I think so. I think he could beat all those guys. And it's not like I'm putting the word out and I'm betting on it. I'm just saying, like, potentially, if you look at it, like, he might just, you know, be a sleeper and just come out and beat everybody, you know. It's one of those guys. But, yeah, this card, I don't think you're tripping. I mean, there's some guys on here, but I don't know. I wouldn't say you're really tripping because this prelims card is kind of like whatever. I mean, Brad Tavares, he puts on fun fights, but he's in the co-main event. It's like, okay, Thiago Moises is on there. Like, it's okay. It's just a lot of, like, okay fights, you know what I mean? I don't think you're tripping. This is just a lot of okayness on this card right now. It's like, there's some guys here, but it's just okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, Terrence McKinney should be higher on the card. I don't know what's happening with that. That dude, Jailton Almeida, is in the main event of the early prelims. He's supposed to be like they're saying he's like a Habib at heavyweight. So that's a guy that's on the come up. He's Jailton Almeida. He's in the main event of the early prelims. But yeah, Terrence McKinney should be moved up, and then there's just a lot of okay fights. You know what I mean? These are all fights that's like, okay, I don't need to watch Lauren Murphy and Jessica Andrade. I'm okay without watching that. And Shogun Hua, I'm okay without watching that. Burns and Magny, I mean, that one I would like to watch, but I'm not like dying to see it. You know what I'm saying? That's in the feature. Figueiredo and Moreno fighting for the 98th time, so that's always a fun fight. Bro, they're fighting for the 98th time. Go ahead.
Tired of it. I don't give a – boy, please don't let this fight end in a draw. Lord, please, for God's sake, do not let this fight end in a draw. Let somebody get knocked out so we can be over them and through with them. Because I think Figueiredo, I think he just – 125 just – he's too big for 125. So I think he may have a couple more fights at 125, but this is it. But you know what, Keys, man? I'm going to say something about this card. This card has a lot of names. But it's only three fights up here. Well, maybe four fights up here, five fights that I like, that I really want to see. Paul Craig, Johnny Walker. I don't mind Lauren Murphy and Jessica Andrade, although women's fights haven't been super exciting here lately. Neil Magny always, he's one of them guys that when we think he's going to lose, he wins.
Yeah.
Every time we think he's going to lose, he wins. So...
And those are the ones that you kind of, it's like you almost think like, wow, I should probably pick Neil Magny because I think he's going to lose. You should probably pick him.
Yeah. But I'm with you, the Jailton Almeida, I wouldn't mind seeing him on the prelims. Terrence McKinney, just because he's exciting, I wouldn't mind seeing him on the prelims. Shogun Hua is, you know, man, he's just over the hill. Cody Stamann don't know a weight class he want to be in. You know, he fights at bantamweight, then he go from 135 to 145. He needs to figure out what weight class he want to be in. But outside of that, man, I'm really not excited about this card. But I will be watching because it's on my birthday. So hopefully it turns out to be action-packed. And I will be rooting for my man Jamal Hill, although he has a tough, tough fight against Glover Teixeira. So, outside of that, man, I don't think the UFC did me good for my birthday. But hopefully around your birthday, it'll be even better. We shall see.
Because, and so the thing that sucks is that We were supposed to get Whittaker, you know, not on this card, on next month's card, but we were still supposed to get Whittaker soon. So that's what makes it even worse. Like, we were supposed to get, like, I was going to see Whittaker, you know, beat up Paulo Costa for 15 minutes on next month's card, because next month's card, I was supposed to, I'm still very excited about it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just telling y'all that this card is the on Lee's birthday that they kind of underwhelmed us a little bit with this card right here. I mean, they didn't really give him the one that he should have got, you know, that he should be getting. And so we're kind of skipping. We're going to watch it, but we're kind of skipping over it a little bit too mentally. We're kind of just going to cruise right past it. And in my mind, you know, they're just going to cruise right past it. And in my mind, you know, after Figueiredo and Moreno fight for the 98th time, we're going to, you know, hopefully that ends that whole thing. And then, you know, we're just going to be thinking about that February card. February card is looking, you know, amazing. It's looking amazing, even without Whittaker. And I was hoping that we would get to see Whittaker, you know, beat a guy up for 15 minutes. I was hoping that we would get that. You know, I feel like, you know, every once in a while you need to see Rob Whittaker beat a dude up for 15 minutes. You just, it's part of the life cycle, you know what I mean? You know, for a man, we just need to see that. You know, a man needs to just see, you know, Rob Whittaker, the, you know, best middleweight on the planet. We need to just see him beat a guy up for 15 minutes. It's just part of the life cycle. You know what I'm saying? Y'all feel me with that?
It's part of the life cycle, huh?
It is, but, you know, for our proper growth and progression, you know, and stability, you know, we just need, and our mental health, you know, we just need to see, you know, the best middleweight in the world beat a guy up for 15 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Because he doesn't need a, you know, with no belt, we don't even need it to be, you know, for no belt. We just, you know, he beats a guy up and just dominates, and we just, you know, we go again. It's great. So we get that, and then, you know, we go out the next day and we just achieve everything and we just dominate the whole day, because it's a very motivating factor, you know what I'm saying? We get to see it, you know. Rob Whittaker.
Check this out, Keith. Speaking of Bobby Knuckles, man, being that he's not fighting Costa, right, do you think they give him a shot at Pereira? Or do you think they go back to Izzy versus Pereira? Me personally, I hope they get a shot to Bobby Knuckles, man. I know that he hasn't looked good in his fights against Israel, but this is his only shot, man, to being champion again. If he fights Correa, because he's never getting another shot against Izzy. We know that. His next title shot will have to come in at 205. So, you think the UFC get him Pereira as Pereira's first title defense?
I mean, there's really nobody else there. I think it's possible. I mean, we always say, like, if a guy comes back and he fights for the title and then he loses, you know, we're always saying, like, depending on how the fight was, you're either one or two wins out. You know what I mean? You never – if you just fought for the title, you're either one, if not two wins out. You're never, like, three wins out. You know what I mean? Like, even if you get dominated, like, you were still in the title fight. I wouldn't say you're three wins. I mean, some guys are, though. Some guys, they do need to fight. Like, Ngannou, you know, Ngannou got dominated by Stipe so bad the first time. Ngannou had to win, like, three, if not four. Might even won, like, five fights. I want to say he won three, or maybe, I think it was four. I think Ngannou might have had to do four fights. And then he got back for the rematch and he won the title. But in my mind, I think mostly you're either like one or two wins. Like, I don't think he should have had to fight four fights to do it. Like, I feel like that was too much. You know what I'm saying? In most cases, you're either one, if not two wins away, you know? Like, even when Gaethje lost to Oliveira in the first round, like, he's probably, you know, he's two wins away. You know, he was still there. I mean, but then again, he fought twice for the title and he lost both times and he kind of lost badly. Like, he might be three wins away. I don't know. There's special cases like that. But for Whittaker, I would say he lost and then he won two, if not three fights before he got the rematch. And then now, I think the second fight was close enough, because most people were saying they had 3-2 either way. It was a very close fight. And I think that fight was close enough to where he could get away with just having that one win over Vettori, because he completely dominated. I think he could get away with that, getting that, because he had one dominant win and then go right back into another title fight versus a different guy. I think that totally makes sense. I think if they were going to go for a third fight against Adesanya, I would want to see Whitaker get like another one or two fights in before we would do something like that, you know. But where it's a different guy, I think he could get away with just getting right in there, because besides that, who else can he even fight? I mean, Whitaker's beating everybody here. Like, he's number two, right? Adesanya is number one. Number three under Whitaker is Cannonier. He dominated him. Number four under that is Vettori, dominated him. Number five under that is Derek Brunson. I'm pretty sure he KO'd Brunson. Number six, Paulo Costa, they tried to do it and Costa, you know, bowed out. Number seven is Sean Strickland, and I just feel like that's probably
Sean
the
Strickland
first
just
fight.
Lost to Cannonier.
Yeah, he just fought and lost. I don't think, I mean, I could see them trying to make that fight, honestly. I could see them trying. It's only the next spot down from Costa, and I could see Whitaker taking it. But besides that, I mean, the dude Roman, you go much lower. It's like, why did he, you know, Jack Hermanson, it's like Dreyfus, like he doesn't have to fight these dudes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what, he doesn't have to. I mean, he could give a shot out to one of these guys. You know, he could fight a Duplessis or a, you know, a Chris Curtis or something like that. But or even a Jack Hermanson. But it's like, why does he have to go? Why does he have to go that low in the rankings when he's number two? You know what I mean, I don't think he really has to give a shot out. You know what I mean, and he could, and he would beat all those guys. But I just don't think he has to do that.
Hey, Keith.
Whitaker, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Who was more dominant against Vettori, Whitaker or Izzy?
Oh, man, come on, man. That's too easy. You're not asking. You're telling me. You didn't say it, but you're telling me. That was a statement. Come on, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, didn't do anything. Man, Adesanya versus Vettori, he didn't do anything. That rematch, he was just, you know, I feel like I only remember him just like leg kicking and jabbing Vettori. He wasn't doing anything. It was just a bunch of nothingness. You know what I mean? He won the fight. He didn't dominate the fight. You know what I'm saying? Whitaker dominated the fight. You know, that's the difference.
That was the point. That was the point I was making.
Yeah, one was that guy won the fight. He did what he did to win the fight, which that's okay. But you're not going to compare that to someone who dominated the fight, you know. Whitaker had Vettori on his knees. He looked like he was bowing down to the king. You know what I'm saying? Vettori looking like an ass in there. That was terrible. You know what I'm saying? Like it was one of those fights where it was like, damn, you could clearly see like the gap in skill level here, you know. Whitaker, man, he's a beast. I think they could do Pereira and Whitaker. I think that would make sense. I'd be down for that.
And that's why I was going at. I don't think Izzy wants to fight Pereira. I think he's talking the good talk, but I think he knows that Pereira's power is something he can't deal with, and Pereira just keeps coming, and Izzy does everything in his power, leg kicks, you know. He even tried to wrestle, which looked like two turtles on their back. It's just something about Pereira's power that he can't shake. I think he would rather Robert Whitaker get in there, fight Pereira, possibly win, and then he fights Bobby Knuckles. I don't think he wants to see Pereira again. But I'm with you. Vettori was like Game of Thrones in there against Bobby Knuckles. He was just bending the knee.
Yeah.
He was just bending the knee, man.
I listened to him. I'm like, all right, he's saying he's like Game of Thrones. I was like, all right, I feel like I get what he's saying by this. And then when you actually come out, I'm like, all right. Yo, that really was good. Yo, he did bend it. Yo, Cejudo always talking about dudes bend the knee, but he never actually had someone bend the knee. That was a that was the bend the knee right there, man. So who don't ever did nobody like that?
No, no. Vittori, he was bending the knee in that fight against Bobby Knuckles. Hey, man, I know we got to do our end of year show. So you want to do that next Wednesday?
Yeah, we can do it next Wednesday. That works.
All right.
I mean, unless we give, if you have nothing else, we can give one off right now. We can give one of our awards out right now if you got it.
All right, go ahead. Which one do you want to give out?
So I'm going to go like this. They had, man, so we could do finish of the year. We could do overall, like KO of the year, or we could do, maybe we could just say our fight of the year. Want to just do our fight of the year? Or no, how about this? You want to do our fighter of the year. How about that? You want to give the fighter of the year?
Oh, man, boy, that's a big one right there. Yeah, we can do our fighter of the year. I mean, I really haven't thought about it, but let me look at the rankings real quick, and I will base my decision off the rankings. Let me see. Fighter of the year. Let me see. Oh, man, this is going to be tough. I know who I want to go with, but I don't want to go with. I want to go with Shevchenko so bad because she's been so dominant, but that's why I can't go with her, because I don't think her level of competition has been up to the same as the men. Oh, man, boy, this is a tough one. This is a tough one, Keys. Who's your fighter of the year, bro?
I always lean towards activity. Like, it always helps me to go off like one moment. Like, I know a lot of people are saying Leon Edwards right now because he had the biggest. He really had like the biggest moment of. You know, he had debatably the biggest moment of the year, but I don't think that can make the fighter of the year just off of one. You know. One round, you know, one moment. That was an incredible moment, but I don't think that's, you know, fight of the year. I go off activity, and a lot of these dudes didn't really have the activity. A lot of people are saying Alex Pereira for the fighter of the year, but I don't really think so. I mean, I saw him struggling versus guys, you know, I saw him struggling versus guys that he shouldn't have been struggling against, and then he did beat Adesanya, but he was down 3-1 in that fight, and so he got the TKO in the fifth, so I don't know, man. I don't know if that's – I mean, off activity, he had, I think, 4 wins this year, so I get why people are saying it, but I'm pretty sure he was struggling in his first couple of fights, and then he just got kind of propelled up to a – you know, that don't do it for me, man. So I think the way I go with this, I'm just finishing up looking through these pound-for-pound lists real quick. Let me just get this real quick. I know.
Because I was doing mine the same way. I was looking at mine the same way as you, as far as like who was like really, really active. I wouldn't give it to Leon Edwards because he was actually losing. I would say he got lucky in that fight, but even though he won, I wouldn't give it to him. I think if Charles Oliveira would have won, it would have been hands down Charles Oliveira because of who he fought. But he ended up losing. Izzy lost.
I'm going to put it like this. While I was looking through the list, I was just reminded of who has my knockout of the year, which I'll give on next week's show. I get the knockout of the year ready. Fight of the year, I'm pretty sure I have a couple contenders in mind. I think I have like 2 that I'm kind of debating between those 2 fights. No, I think I actually know my fight of the year, too. I think I got 1 locked down. It's a recent one. So I have the fight of the year, I got the knockout of the year. And the fight of the year, I'm going to give it to Volkanovski. I think Volkanovski, he would have had 3 fights. He was ready to step in for the 3rd one, and it wasn't needed because both guys made weight. But the fact that he was even stepping up to do it, I think that almost counts the same as a fight to me, because he made weight and he was ready. And he had 2 very dominant title defenses, you know, in this year. And he was going to move up for the 3rd one. I mean, he didn't He was supposed to fight Holloway in the first one. He ended up fighting Korean Zombie. He destroyed Korean Zombie. And then he fought Holloway later in during the summer, and he 5-0'd Max Holloway, and he made Holloway – he had Holloway looking crazy, you know, and I love Max Holloway, but he had him looking crazy in there. So that was like – I feel like that's like a performance that's really not talked about as much as it probably should be. You know, 5-0 versus Max Holloway is – you might never get that again. You know, I don't know if anyone's going to 5-0. Like, he's never that's like a – that's like one for the history books, you know what I mean? That performance was different. And, yes, yeah, so I think those two performances really showed the level. And then he, you know, was stepping up to move up to 155, made weight, and they just didn't need him. But he still – I still count that as like a big notch on the belt, you know, for 20 – and then now the fight locked in for 2023. So I think, you know, yeah, I think it's spoken off you, man.
Man, that's a hell of a pick, bro. That's a hell of a pick. I want to lean towards Volkanovski. Man, everything in me is saying Charles Oliveira, but I can't give it to a guy that lost. All right, Keith. I don't want to go with the same guy you went with. I am going to go with... I really don't want to go with this guy. I want to go with Islam, but I'm not going to go with him. I'm going to go with Khamzat, man. Khamzat Chimaev.
That's fair play, man. That's fair play. You know, I was actually just – it's funny because I was actually just looking at his name, and I was about to say to you – no, I was looking at his name right before you said it, and I was about to say to you, like, yo, honestly, Khamzat's not a bad pick for Fight of the Year, too, if you look at it, you know? That was the thought that I had, and I was like, nah, let me just let him go, you know what I'm saying? Let him have his air time. But I definitely, you know, on God, I had that thought in my mind. I was about to throw it out, like, yo, Hamzat's not a bad pick, man. He had a Fight of the Year candidate with Gilbert Burns, right? I think that was the first Fight of the Year. Fight of the Year candidate with Gilbert Burns, that's a history books fight right there. And then... he was supposed to fight Nate Diaz. They had the whole scramble. Then he ended up fighting Kevin Holland and had a pretty amazing performance. He dispatched Kevin Holland in like 2 minutes. And Kevin Holland is pretty good on the mat, man. I know, like, versus some of these wrestlers, he hasn't looked good. Like, I think his Derek Brunson fight, like, stuff like that. But he's actually pretty good on the mat, though. You know, as far as – I'm pretty sure he's a BJJ black belt. And I'm pretty sure he does a good amount of grappling in his training, you know, but he just, you know, a guy like Derek Brunson kind of just dominated him. But I think he'd also sharpened his tools since that fight, you know. And I think he got better with his mat game. So he's actually, Kevin Holland's pretty legit on the mat, man. And Khamzat just ran right through him, bro. And even though it was on short notice, whatever, yo, guess what? They were both still in fight shape, and they both had training camps for different guys. And they were both in fight shape. So it's not like, you know, Kevin Holland came off the couch to fight him. Like, Kevin Holland they were both in great shape. Kevin Holland was ready to fight, I think he was supposed to fight Daniel Rodriguez, and then Khamzat was supposed to fight Nate Diaz. But so either way, they were both fighting guys, and they were both on full camps. They were both in good shape. They're in fight shape, and they just swapped opponents. It is what it is. So,
yeah, man, I'm going with Khamzat, man. Me and you always said we wanted to see him in a live action fight where he couldn't just use his wrestling to take somebody down and dominate. And Gilbert Burns gave him everything he wanted and more. Although Khamzat won unanimous decision, I don't know whether or not it was a unanimous decision fight. I thought Gilbert Burns was better in the striking game, and he made Khamzat work. But Khamzat came back and against my man, Kevin Holland, and he made quick work of him. And then, I know we only going to use 2022 fights, But in the fourth quarter of 2021, he submitted Li Jianlin, who was a tough guy. So, yeah, man, I'm going to get Hobbs out my fighter of the year. But he needs to make weight. Can't be missing weight, Keith. Hopefully in 2023, he take making weight more seriously, because that is part of the fight game. And if he wants to be a champion, he's going to have to learn to make weight. I know he's calling out Alex Pereira, saying that he want to fight him. I know why he want to fight Alex Pereira, because Alex Pereira can't wrestle, and he knows he can dominate him on the mat. But can he handle Pereira's power? So my fight of the year is going to Hobbs out tomorrow, man. I already know what my fight of the year is going to be. I don't know what my knockout of the year is going to be, but yeah, man. Next week, man. Let's get into our we'll talk via text message about our probably five topics we're going to cover next week. But hey, man. Great show. Kick off 2023. You got any last words for the people?
Nah, man, nothing really. Nothing off top. If I do and I forgot anything, I'll post it up on our Twitter at Lee and Keys Real Talk. Follow us. But yeah, if anything I missed, I'll post it up on our Twitter, you know, for the last words. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Just you know, follow both of us. I hope everybody had a, you know, great new year, and you know, more blessings to you and to you and yours in 2023. And let's get it, man.
Man, Mike, man, Lee and Keys, man, rolling into 2023, man. Hopefully this year, you know, your opportunities are vast and, you know, prosperous, that you have a great year with your music as well as this show. I think we're rolling up on 300 this year, episode 300 this year. It's definitely been fun. And we just keep getting better. I got to come up with a new saying. It's a new year. So I'll work on that. But, hey, man, our first show of 2023, everybody have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. As always, Lee and Key signing off, and we always hit you with a peace.